there's all kind of voices in the world. There's a lot of folk that are speaking. And many people are listening to the other voices. There's the voice of man. Other people want to tell you what's right for you. You know, from the time you get up and if you turn on your TV, what do you got? People telling you that you need to buy this kind of deodorant. You need to buy this kind of cologne. You need to buy this kind of aftershave. You need to wear this clothes. You need to buy this. You need to do that. There are all kind of voices. There are the voices of man.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder and dean of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today as we continue our series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate, with the first half of Part 8, God is Speaking, Are You Listening? So please open your Bible to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, as we rejoin Dr. Glaze for the first half of God is Speaking. Are you listening?
And if you'd open in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 3, where we are in the midst of our series entitled, What We Have Here is a Failure to Communicate. And last week, we began looking at a story and the incident in the life of Samuel, where the Lord was speaking to his heart. And we've kind of moved from the realm of dealing with communication between man to man or woman to woman or human to human. And now we've moved into the area of communication between humans and God. So that's what we're looking at now. But we're still dealing with this failure to communicate. And I want to suggest to you today that when there is a failure to communicate, especially from a vertical standpoint, it's not God's fault. It's not God's fault. Whenever the communication is messed up, it's not because God has a problem. So as we look at our text this morning, and you remember the outline from last week, some of you may want to pull that out, and we'll work through that outline from last week and follow along with that. But the first thing we see that we looked at was the title of that message was, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. And we were talking about the voice of God and talking about hearing the voice of God, something that each and every person that's here today should be in the regular habit of doing is hearing God's voice on a regular basis. And as I talk to people, some young people, some adults, one of the questions that they ask often is, well, Pastor, how do you know God is talking to you? You get up in the pulpit and you preach and you say that the Lord spoke to you and the Lord told you this and the Lord told you that. How do you know that God is speaking to you? And that's the reason that we're doing these messages over the next couple of weeks is to say that God is still speaking no matter who you are. You know, God has a message for everybody. It doesn't make any difference. And I'm going to say this, and this may shock some of us, but if you're saved or unsaved, God has a message for you. There is a message that God is trying to communicate to you. Now, if you don't know Christ, if you're not saved, we know the message that God is trying to share with you. The message is trying to say, come to Jesus. All right? Now, if you are saved, there's ongoing messages that God has. If you haven't heard from God for a while, that you need to maybe stop and begin to check yourself. That there's a failure to communicate there. Because as I read my Bible, as I live this life, I realize that God is speaking. And he's speaking every day. And he's speaking to many of us on a daily basis. And so if you're not hearing from God, there's a problem there. There's a breakdown. So we need to be hearing the voice of God. And we see, as we looked at the text last week, the reason for the voice of God. The reason for the voice of God, and it gives us that in verse 1. It says, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. There had to be a word from God. There was no open vision. There was nobody communicating the message of God to the people. There was no way for people to receive the revelation. So what does God do? God comes down and he speaks to Samuel. Why? Because he has a message for people. And so the reason for the voice is because God has a message to get through to his people. God has a message to get through to us today. In verses 2 through 8, we see the repetition of the voice. The repetition of the voice. Verse 2, and it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. That the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down again. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst callest me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. The repetition of the call, that God called Samuel three times. And one interesting thing that we brought out last week, it said that Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Now, that didn't mean that he didn't know who God was, and that doesn't even mean that he didn't have a relationship with God. What it meant was that he didn't know God in the way that God was getting ready to reveal himself to him, that their relationship was going to take on a whole new dynamic. And we see that in this situation, that God had to come and repeat this call on three occasions before they realized that it was the voice of the Lord calling. Y'all heard the story about a pastor who was candidating for a church. And he came to the church and preached a message on Sunday morning. And they had a service on Sunday evening. And he came back and he preached the same message. He was scheduled to come back to the Bible study, and the deacon said, well, you know, now he preached the same message Sunday morning and Sunday evening. You know, if he comes back Wednesday for Bible study and preaches that same message, we're going to have to deal with this. So he came back, and he preached the same message again on Wednesday. And so after the service was over, they caught him, and they said, you know, we're getting a little sick and tired of you preaching the same message, you know, over and over again. Why do you keep doing that? He said, whenever you start doing what I ask you to do, then I'll preach another message. And so we see that sometimes God has to repeat the call, all right? Sometimes he has to come to us over and over and over again because we haven't done what it is that God has asked us to do. So the reason for the voice, the repetition of the voice, and the response to the voice. And we looked at the response. It was found in verse 8 that, first of all, the voice was acknowledged. Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. So we see that the voice was acknowledged, that they understood that it was the voice of God. And there was a stillness in verse 9 because it says, therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go and lie down. If you want to hear God, you got to get quiet. And we're going to talk about that next week. And there was an attitude of submission. Verses 9 and 10, he says, speak, Lord. You know, Lord, we need you to speak. We need to hear from you. And then there was a time of listening because he said, thy servant hears. So that was the message last week. And this week we're going to take this same passage and we're going to look at it from a different standpoint. And we're going to deal with this question. God is speaking. Are you listening? God is speaking. Are you listening? You know, it's amazing to me. And I heard Chuck Swindoll say that the way some people listen to God and the way that some people hear from God, it would make a great miniseries. Or when we got these reality shows on TV today, and the title of the show would be That's Incredible. That's incredible, the way that some people listen to God. You know, you heard about the guy who was looking for the will of God for his life, and he didn't know how to hear the voice of God. And so he stood by an open window, and he had his Bible. And he said, wherever the wind blows the page and it opens, I'm going to put my finger on that page, and whatever it says, I'll know that that's the will of God for my life. So he stood by the window, and the wind blew in, and he put his finger down, and this came to Matthew 27 and verse 5, and it said Judas went out and hanged himself. He said, well, that's not what I want to hear. So he put it by the window again, and the wind blew, and it came to Luke 10:37. He put his finger down. It says, go and do thou likewise. He said, well, I don't want to hear that one. He said, put it by the window. It blew again, and he put his finger down to John 13:27. It said, what thou doest, do quickly. So it's amazing the way that some people come to hear the voice of God and to listen to the voice of God. One person was contemplating buying a car and wasn't sure, you know, what color the car was, knew what kind of car that they wanted, but wasn't sure the color of the car that they wanted to buy. And so one night they went to sleep and they had a dream, and everything in the dream was yellow. The house was yellow. The furniture was yellow. Had a car in front, and that was yellow. So the person took it as being the will of God that they go and buy a yellow car. So the next day they went out and bought a yellow car, and needless to say, it was a lemon. Strange ways people find the will of God for their life. But today we want to look at some more practical ways to find God's will for our life. We want to look at tried and tested ways from the scripture that God gives us to find his will for our life. In the notes you will read this morning, the first thing that we need to realize is that God's people are commanded to listen to the voice of God. Now, if you want to read all those scriptures, we gave a bunch of scriptures there where it says that we need to listen to God's voice. Now, you know, I need you to help me here this morning. And the things I need to help you with, I need you to realize that God says listen to his voice. That's what God wants us to do. God wants us to listen to his voice. And one of the things that I found out that if God asks us to do something, it's not something that's beyond our realm of capability. That we must be able to do it if God says that this is what you're supposed to do. And over again, Exodus 15, Exodus 23, Exodus 24, Deuteronomy 27, Psalm 95, Hebrews 3, he says, listen to my voice. So the mandate is there. The command is there for us to listen to the voice of God. Now, some of us need to realize that God is speaking and that God has a message for us to hear. But people shut down. People shut down listening. There was a flight attendant who was on the plane, and she was going over the speech that they give when people sit down and, you know, what they need to do in case of emergency. And she said, and she got tired of, you know, people just shutting her off and not listening. So this is what she said. She said, when the mask drops down in front of you, place it over your navel and continue to breathe. And you know what? Nobody even heard what she said. It didn't faze anybody. Why? Because many of us, and I know I'm guilty, that when I get on planes, you know, they ask everybody to give their attention. They ask everybody to look forward, and then they go through that spiel with the seat belts and if it drops down. And you know what? I'm not listening. I mean, I see, and this is the problem. This is the problem. I think, I already know what she's going to say. I already know. Now, what if they get a new plane and something different happens? You know, they got to have a different procedure. Then I'm not listening to hear the change. And the sad reality is I think that's what's happened to a lot of God's people, is that you feel that you know it all, or you think that you know what God is going to say, or you already think that you know what's best, and so you shut down listening. And you know, God is still speaking. Are you listening? Are you listening to what it is that God is saying? But the problem is that we have competing voices. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And in the midst of Paul giving a dialogue on tongues, he says, he makes a sidebar reference. So, I mean, the chapter is here. He's talking about tongues and spiritual gifts. But I just think that it's interesting that he notes this in chapter 14 and verse 10. Look what he says here. He says, there are, it may be so, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. You hear what he said? There are all kind of voices in the world. Man, there's all kind of voices in the world. There's a lot of folk that are speaking. And many people are listening to the other voices. There's the voice of man. Other people want to tell you what's right for you. You know, from the time you get up and if you turn on your TV, what do you got? People telling you that you need to buy this kind of deodorant. You need to buy this kind of cologne. You need to buy this kind of aftershave. You need to wear this clothes. You need to buy this. You need to do that. There are all kind of voices. There are the voices of man. There's the voice of Satan. Satan, now, believe it or not, Satan is speaking. Now, I'm convinced that with some of the stuff that we hear going on in society today, where folk can just go out and cold-blooded without a thought kill somebody, you know, either they have some problems, okay, some emotional problems, or they're just listening to a voice that is satanic and demonic. And that's the case in a lot of these situations to see. When you, it's unbelievable some of the horrible stuff that we hear about in the world today. Man, there's some, you know, this is hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to believe that we live in a civilized society. Just when you think about some of the things that people are doing to other people today, it's incredible. It's horrible. And I have to ask the question, where is a lot of that coming from? James talked about that. James said that that's demonic. And Satan's voice is out there. And Satan is speaking. And you know, the sad thing is that it seems like there's a whole lot of people listening to the voice of Satan. And sometimes there's more people listening to the voice of Satan than they are listening to the voice of God. Anytime that you can do something wicked, evil, nefarious, cold-blooded, you know, I got to ask that question. Where is that coming from? There's only one place that's coming from, and that's coming from Satan. And then, you know, we got the competition of our own voice. You know, in the book of Judges, it said that every man did that was right in his own eyes. So you know, we got to deal with our own voice. And saints, isn't it easy to see how the voice of God can get crowded out? That if people are in a relationship that they shouldn't be in, and God says that you shouldn't be in that relationship, but you listen to other voices. Satan is dipping and dabbling in that relationship. You know, you got other people telling you that that's the relationship you should be in. You've convinced yourself. And what have you done? You have actually crowded out the voice of God. God can't speak. And that's why some people here, and we're going to talk about this in a future message, hindrances to hearing the voice of God. Some people can't hear the voice of God because they've allowed other voices to crowd out God's voice. Now, God is speaking, and I'm going to keep saying that. God is speaking. Are you listening? Are you listening? Well, how is God speaking? You know, what methods does God use to speak? If you look at the notes, you'll see that I broke it down into two categories, primary and secondary. Primary and secondary. And in the primary, we see that God speaks through the Bible. God speaks through the Holy Spirit. God speaks through our circumstances. And God speaks through other people. In the secondary, God has spoken in audible voices. God speaks through dreams. God speaks through vision. God speaks through angels. God even has spoken through the dead. Now, I'm going to deal with that because I think we got a misconception of that sometimes. And God speaks through theophanies. So we're going to look at these different things here. Now, notice what I've done. I've broken down into the meaning, and with each one, there's a caution. And the reason I put the caution in there is because sometimes people misappropriate, abuse, some of these things for their own good. And they twist it around and they put it in such a way where it fits their circumstance. And then it's almost like, you know, they got a thought in their mind and they want to affirm that thought. So they pull in these various means to put their stamp of approval and say, well, God said it was all right for me to do this. And God didn't say it was all right. But we want to look at some of these things today. The first thing that we see is the Bible. God speaks through the Bible. Now, to me, saints, my brothers and sisters, all the other things that we got listed here are good. But if you want to bank your money on anything, you better bank it on this right here. You better say that God is speaking to me from his word. And that's first and foremost where I'm going to get a message from when I'm looking for God to direct my life, when I'm looking for God to give me guidance as to which way that I need to go, that I'm going to look from the word of God. That's where I'm going to look first. I see people making major decisions in their life. I mean major decisions in their life, and they haven't consulted the word of God. Man, that scares me. That scares me that there would be no time spent in the word when it comes time for you to make decisions in your life that maybe not only going to affect your life, but are going to affect the lives of others. You know, I need to know, especially if my future is in your hand, I need to know that you heard from God. I need to know that God, you know, it's amazing. And I want to share some things interspersed in this message about the move. Because, you know, for the longest time, I was struggling, you know, with this whole idea of moving across the street. You know, you may remember when we first built that building across the street. We were supposed to move over there at that time. You know, we had talked about moving over there, but for some reason, we kind of lingered around over here. I'll be honest with you. I like this pulpit. I like being in the sanctuary. I like having a cross and baptismal pool up there. And so the idea of moving into a gym was not something that struck me. And so I resisted it. And I struggled with that thing for the longest time. And I just didn't have a peace in my spirit. I just didn't have a peace in my spirit about what it was we were supposed to do. And so even though we had, you know, even voted and said that we were going to move, I was still struggling with that thing. And then it was when we called that church fast, and we came, and I came into the house of God, and I spent all day in the house of God right here just praying and seeking God. And as I got into the word, you know, God began to open up the word, and God began to show me things. And on that day, I just said, well, you know what, I'm going to go, and I'm going to spend time in prayer and fast. And you know, I said that, you know, I'm just going to continue on with my regular Bible reading. And during the regular Bible reading time, I was reading through the book of Nehemiah. And as I was reading through the book of Nehemiah, I came across a passage. I think it was in chapter 8.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. We hope you were challenged by today's teaching. Tune in next time for the conclusion of God is Speaking, Are You Listening? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes and outline of today's teaching, God is Speaking, Are You Listening? You can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request God is Speaking, Are You Listening? Or program number 060312. That's 877-831-5060 and request God is Speaking, Are You Listening? Or program number 060312. Today's teaching was part 8 of our 9-part series titled, What We Have is a Failure to Communicate. The entire series is made available by request. If you would like to make a financial contribution to the program, you can send it to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. That's the Anchored in Jesus radio program, 7745 Tioga Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15208. We here at Anchored in Jesus would like to invite you to come and be our guest this Sunday at Bethany Baptist Church. Service starts at 10:30. For directions or further details, not only pertaining to our Sunday morning worship service, but also the various other services at the Bethany Center each week, and training opportunities offered through the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, refer to bethanybaptist-pgh.org. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, is taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.